Good morning. If I told you that there was a single word that was quietly damaged more opportunities and more relationships and more spiritual lives than almost any other word that you could find in the English language, what might that be? You might say greed. You might say pride or anger. The word I'm thinking about sounds more polite, kind of harmless. Sounds cooperative. Seems reasonable. The word I'm thinking of is later. Later. Not no, just later. Later, I'm going to deal with that habit that I have. Later, I'm going to take that phone call that I need to take. Later, I'm going to fix the relationship that seems to be broken. Later, I'm going to get serious about my spiritual life. Later, I'm going to respond to what I know I should be doing later. Feels safe because it kind of sounds like an agreement, but it doesn't have the inconvenience. It feels cooperative, but it doesn't really require commitment. It's exactly why it is so dangerous. I picked this subject this week because there was a recent medical article that came out that describes what happens in the brain when people procrastinate. And it goes on into a lot of parts of it, but basically they're saying that procrastination is not always laziness, it is frequently an avoidance. The brain senses something that is discomforting, something that's uncertain. A risk, if you would. And so it triggers in the brain something that would look for relief of that. Maybe it's an emotional self-protection. So rather than saying yes, we say later, and our stress is reduced, even though the consequences down the line might be a lot greater. In other words, avoidance feels better in the moment, even when it makes life worse later on. Scripture has described this pattern for a long time, for centuries, and it doesn't call it a problem with productivity. It calls it a problem with the heart. The Bible treats delay later, especially repeated delay, as spiritually serious because it shapes the direction of our character, the outcome of our life. If you have your Bibles, over in the book of Proverbs in chapter 6, verse 6, might give you a reason why you have the image on your bulletin and behind me. It describes a contrast. And it's simply stated as this. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Now, when you think about that, that's an unusual command for an adult. Go study the ants. Why? Because the ant doesn't wait for motivation. The ant doesn't wait for some idea. Whether the ant doesn't hold planning meetings to decide what the future will hold and when to act, the ant simply sees the season to act and it acts. And then the proverb introduces an interesting word, you sluggard. I like that. The contrast is sharp. The sluggard here is not pictured as being wildly rebellious. He is just quietly delaying. not going in the wrong direction. He's just not going in any direction at all. Now, we might substitute this old word sluggard for some more modern phrases. We might say he's a couch potato, lazy bones, loafer, slacker, professional procrastinator. When my brother and I were very young boys, my father had some very colorful motivational vocabulary for his slow-moving sons. My brother was called Drag, and Dad added a phrase, a word after that. I was called Dusty, and he added another word behind that. Both of us understood that Daddy wanted to get our slow-moving bottoms going. Scripture gives us a cleaner word, if you would. Sluggard. And the pattern's not dramatic refusal. It is instrumental delay. Maybe a little extra sleep. Maybe a little slumber. Maybe a little just twisting of your hands. Small postponements. In repeated, they become a lifestyle. I don't know your sleep habits, and I don't know your alarm clock. But every now and then, I suspect if you're like most of us, you might reach over when that buzzer goes off and slap it and hit that snooze button. Well, if you do it once, that's probably not a big deal. But what if you slap it 4, 5, 6 times in the morning, each postponing your getting up by another 10 minutes. The first time you tapped it, that felt small. But the further you got from your intended purpose, the easier it became to slap it again. Procrastination rarely announces itself as rebellion. It introduces itself as just short extensions before action has to take place. Sluggard always has a reason why they don't act. If you're still in Proverbs, go over to chapter 22. Look at verse 13. The lazy man says, "There's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets." In other words, he invents danger so he doesn't have to act at the moment. There's always a risk. There's always a reason. There's always a scenario that supports your procrastination. You can go over to the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 11, verse 4, and it introduces this subject in light of agriculture. It says, "He who observes the wind will not sow. And he who regards the clouds will not reap." So if you're a farmer and you insist on perfect conditions, you're never going to plant a plant. If the wind has to be just right, if the clouds have to be just right, if the temperature has to be just right, the seed's never going to leave your hand. Fruit doesn't come from perfect conditions. It comes from timely action. Many people live that way in their normal, everyday life. And we have reasons. Oh, we're waiting for perfect clarity. We want perfect certainty that the action that I have is going to work out okay. We just say to ourselves, we're just being careful. In reality, maybe we're just simply delaying. Clarity usually follows movement. It usually doesn't precede it. Some people practice what looks like responsible delay. We all know the organizers among us, the planners, thoroughly getting prepared. But sometimes those kind of people never act at all. The plow is polished, but you never turn the dirt. If you're back in Proverbs, look in chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Desire without action produces nothing, emptiness. Intention without obedience produces loss. Wanting is not doing. Pattern shows up everywhere. Our relationships are weakened because we postpone those conversations that we ought to have. Our health erodes because we say later to the doctor appointment that we should have taken. Maybe our finances suffer because we postponed the restraint in our spending that we should have. Maybe our walk with God is postponed until later. Delay is not passive. It's directional. And small postponements quietly shape our outcomes and form habits in our life and in our heart. And what makes delay later so deceptive and dangerous? Because we don't see the sirens go off. We don't see the flashing warning lights. Most procrastination feels reasonable in the moment in which we delay. We tell ourselves we're careful, we're busy, we're thoughtful. But that delay has a compounding effect. It grows like interest on a debt. If we don't do it today, tomorrow it's a little harder to do. And the next day even harder than that. We understand that principle in life. If you fail to make the repairs on your house before long, you've got a major problem. If you fail to change the oil in your car before long, the engine's going to fail. Neglect rarely explodes. It just accumulates quietly. And then it shows up suddenly. Character works the same way. Discipline is not built in a single act. It's built in repeated small acts of timely obedience. Our indifference is not one large refusal. It is the repeated telling ourselves, I will do it later, I will do it later, I will do it later. And that's why Scripture speaks so often about acting when the moment to act is given. Not all delay comes from laziness. Scripture shows us there are other powerful reasons why we hit the later button in our life. Fear is one. If you have your Bibles over in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, we're not going to read them, but I point you there. You remember the story, there's a master who entrusts resources to his servants and later returns to see how they did with what he gave them to work with. And two servants acted and they invested and they moved. And one servant, it says, went and hid what he was given. So they asked him, why? Why did you not do anything with that which I gave you? And his answer was simple. I was afraid. Fear froze him into inaction. As I read that often, I say, what was he afraid of? What are we afraid of? Afraid of failure? Afraid of criticism by others? Afraid of getting it wrong? Fear of being evaluated by somebody as to our performance? Many people procrastinate not because they love comfort, but because they want to avoid exposure. Delay feels safer than risk. Waiting feels safer than stepping out into action. Fear often wears respectable clothing. We call it caution. Okay. We say we're being thorough before we act. All right. And there's nothing wrong with those two things, but sometimes they're just disguises for fear that we wear to avoid our obedience. Perfectionism is one of fear's most socially acceptable masks. We would rather do nothing than risk doing something imperfectly. But think about it. It's kind of like a boat that's tied up there in the harbor. It's safe there. It's anchored. Whether the waves are high or the wind blows, it's okay. But the boat's not built to be anchored in a harbor. It's built to be in open water. So at some point you have to say a faith that never leaves the harbor never fulfills its calling. Scripture talks about fear directly. It's over in the book of 2 Timothy in the first chapter, verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear says, wait. Faith says, step out. Do. Not recklessly, but obediently. Strength is not always given before movement. It often is given during movement. And all of this that I've said brings us to the point where we need to consider how this brings us into the spiritual realm of our life. One of the clearest examples are the words that Jay read earlier. They're found over in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. It says, three men come up to Jesus, and basically they say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. That sounds right. But then at least two of them we hear say, but first. First, let me go finish something. First, let me go handle something. First, let me take care of something else. Those are reasonable requests. In the case there, it talks about burying the dead. And we respect delays that are legitimate. But you notice that Jesus often responds with urgency because obedience delayed is obedience denied. The issue is not whether the other task you want to do is more valuable. The issue is whether there is anything that you place above the obedience you have to Christ and God. We have a tendency to measure our disobedience by how strongly someone says no. But in reality, Jesus measures our obedience by how quickly we say yes. Scripture warns that spiritual delay has consequences beyond affecting our schedule. Go with me over to the book of Hebrews in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. It says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Hardening happens gradually. I guess the first time we resist, it kind of stings a little bit, but by the 10th time, we barely feel it at all. It's kind of like the friction that you have on your hands, the callus that is formed. After a while, it's so thick, you don't feel the problem anymore. What God's saying is we can do the same thing to our hearts. Hardening is gradual. One of the greatest spiritual illusions is that my obedience will be easier if I do it tomorrow. We like those guys. Yes, Lord, I want to follow you, but first, I need to get my life back in order. I need to get my finances better. I need to take care of my kids, or I'm busy at work, and I've got to take care of that. And the longer obedience is delayed, the heavier it feels. There's also kind of a hidden arrogance when when we make those statements to our Lord? Three things. We say, I will obey later. That assumes that we have a later. That assumes that the opportunity will still exist. And it assumes that our heart will still be willing. And none of those are certain. Over in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 12, verses 19 and 20, Jesus talks about a man who planned big things. Let me build bigger barns to store up all the stuff that I have. He lost his life that very night. His mistake was not planning. His mistake was assuming that he had time that he did not have. So when God speaks to you, the best, safest moment to answer is when you hear his voice. Over in James, in chapter 4, verse 17, it takes personal and a very direct approach. It says this, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We can talk about that in a lot of ways. Not hatred of good. Delay of good. Not rebellion. Just postponement. Some people are not rejecting Christ outright. They're merely saying, I'm postponing my commitment to him till later. Yeah, I believe there is a God. I believe there's a Christ. Yeah, I agree this is his word. Yeah, I intend to come to my Lord. But first, postponement stretched long enough becomes outright rejection. The slow no. And this is where the message must end. Not with our human discipline, but with Christ. There's a Proverbs 119, verse 60. This is where the author says it. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Think about Christ. He didn't delay in his obedience. He didn't postpone going to the cross. He didn't wait for better conditions. He didn't wait for broader support. He obeyed what he had to do from his Father. And because he did not delay, salvation is offered to us now. Notice how the gospel is always framed in the present tense. God never says, when is this more convenient for you, would you come to me? Go to the last book, the book of Revelation, to the last chapter, to the last few words. What's the word? Come. 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 Over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 2, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not when you feel ready enough. Not when you feel you have improved your life enough. Not when life has settled down enough. It says now. Come now. We don't come because we're prepared. We come because Christ was merciful. We don't respond because we're strong. We respond because he is faithful in what he has offered. The urgency of the message of the gospel is not pressure, it is kindness. So I close with this. If God is speaking to your heart today about salvation, repentance, obedience, today is the day. Now is the time. Not later. Come if you will as we stand and sing our song of invitation.